Our last daf of Sukkah. All right, Tavon says, so we left off last two dats. Today's daf is Nun Vav. That's what we're going to pick up the bottom of Nun Hey Amud Beis. So remember again, the Gemara says, Ubi Chiluk Lechem upon him. So remember again, one of the theme of the Mishnah yesterday was this idea, that although all of the Mishmoros, all of the Kohanic shifts are on call for the Regalim, but remember again, they only get to share in those karbanos that are associated with the Yom Tov. But the karbanos that are part and parcel just of the daily order of the Beis HaMikdash, so those are the purview of the Mishmar of the watch that is actually who is assigned that particular week. However, the Mishnah said, the one thing they do all share in is the Lechem Aponim. So the Gemara said the following, B'chiluk Lechem Aponim. Tzan Rabbonon, Minayim Shekala Mishmoros Shavos B'chiluk Lechem Aponim. How do we know that all of the watches have equal rights, equal entitlement to the Lechem Aponim? Tap of Nonvav, Talmud Lomar, because the Pasuk says, Chilek Kechilek Yochilu. Because the Pasuk says, literally, portion by portion they shall eat. What do we learn from that? In the same way that they are able to go ahead, and the same way that they get a chilek, same way that they get a portion for avoda, so too they get a portion for achila. In other words, what the Gemara is saying over here is chilek yachilek yachilu means that whatever portion of sacrificial service you participate in, that automatically means that you are entitled to partake of that particular service. If you do the work, you get the benefit of consumption as well. Umay achila. Now, what are we referring to over here when we see that you get the benefit of consumption of sacrificial service or of aspects in the Beis HaMikdash? Umay achila. Ilei makarbanos. If you want to say that the Torah is telling me that the Kohen is entitled to some part of the karbanos, so mehasam nafka, the Kohen amakrivosa lo siya. So we'll say we don't learn that out about karbanos from the pasuk of chelik yochelik yochilu, but rather we learn that out from the Kohen hamakrivosa lo siya. The pasuk says for the Kohen that offers it, to him it shall be. What does it mean to him it shall be? That whoever participates in the actual sacrificial service is the individual who also gets to partake of the karban. So that's where we learn out the idea that a Kohen who serves is also permitted to partake. We don't learn out from kechelek kochelek yochelu. So the Gemara says, ela lechem aponim. Rather, it must be that the phrase chelek kechelek yochelu, that they get to eat in accordance with their portion, is in fact what? Is referring to lechem aponim. And therefore, again, we learn this as gzeras hakasuv, that the Kohanim are permitted to actually go ahead and all of them together share in the lechem aponim. So the Gemara says, yochol af b'chol sabos shalom machmas haragel. I might have thought that they are also entitled to share in karbonos that are not part of the regal, that are not part of the Yom Tov. Talmud Lomar, therefore, the pasuk says, levad min karav ala avos. Literally, the literal translations, except for that which was transacted by the forefathers. Ma machru ha'avos. What is it that the forefathers, that the ancestors sold to one another? Ma machru avos zelazeh. Ani b'shavasi v'ata b'shavascha. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. Somebody, I think Alan asked this yesterday, in terms of how did they decide which mishmar got which week. It appears that according to the Gemara, that at some point in time early on, the actual mishmaros, the actual Kohanic watches, divided up the weeks amongst themselves. And they did not redistribute the weeks each and every year. This was something that was established however many years ago. They didn't do it by lottery. They did it by mutual agreement. And that was the order that remained throughout the years. So we'll say again, so what comes out from this Gemara is the following. So how do we know, in essence, that they all share in the Lechem Aponim together? We're learning that out from the pasuk of Kechelek, Chelek, Kechelek, Yochelu, that each one shall share in their portion. We don't need that to teach bless you, that Kohanim can eat of karbanos, because we already have another pasuk that teaches us, Lakoin Hamakriva so lo siya. That teaches me that when Kohen does an avoda, he gets to eat from it. Rather, Chelek, Kechelek, Yochelu teaches me that all get to share, ultimately again in the consumption of the Lechem Aponim. Okay, and I will say, of course, the chiddush over there is that, remember, the Mishnah's rule is that the Kohanim get to share jointly in anything related to the regal. The lechem aponim, of course, is not uniquely related to the regel. The lechem aponim is just something that happens each and every week. Now, Tosfos on Amud Beis does point out that the service of the lechem aponim, which means the taking off of loaves and replacing with the new loaves, that is done by the Kohanim whose actual watch it is. What the Mishnah is saying, however, is that all the Kohanim who are there, including those who are just there for the regal, get to share in the actual consumption of lechem aponim. Fine. Ba'atzeres omer lo hilech. Itmar. Rav Amar Sukkah ba'achar kachas masu. So now we're going to come to a very interesting sugya. Rav says that when you go ahead, and now we'll say what the Gemara is picking up on is the following. Remember, the Mishnah said that let's say on Shavuos, that falls out on Shabbos, there would be two different distributions. There would be a distribution of lechem aponim, and there would be a distribution of shtei halechem. The lechem aponim was matzah, or meaning was unleavened, and lechem aponim was chometz. And the kohen who was giving it out would say helech matzah, or actually his lashon was helech matzah, helech chometz. Here's the matzah, meaning here's lechem aponim. Take your portion of lechem aponim and take your portion of shtei lechem. So the Gemara says, Itmar. Based on this, the Gemara opens up another discussion. Rav Amar Sukkah v'achar kachziman. The Rebbe said, interesting machlokes as to on the first night of Sukkot, and for us it's the first two nights of Sukkot, what is the proper order of brachos? We know that again, on Kiddush, on the first night of Sukkot, we have Kiddush, and then we also have two additional brachos of Leishev v'sukkah and Shechiyonu. So what is the proper order for those brachos? So Rav says, first you say Leishev v'sukkah, and then afterwards you should say Shechiyonu. Rabbi Bar Chana says, "Amar zman ba'achar ka zman ba'achar kach sukkah." And Rabbi Bar Chana says, "No, first you say Shechiyonu, and then afterwards you say Leishev v'sukkah." So now everyone's going to analyze both of these opinions. Rav Amar sukkah ba'achar kach zman. Rav says you should first say Leishev v'sukkah, and only afterwards Shechiyonu. Why? Because Chiyuva diyoma adif. Because the obligation of the day takes precedence. Because again, Shechiyonu is a more generic bracha. Sukkah is the mitzvah sayom, and the mitzvah sayom takes precedence. Rabbi Bar Chana says, "Zman va'achar kach sukkah." He says, "You say Shechiyonu, and only afterwards leishev." Why? Tadir v'sheino, tadir kodem. Because he says it's a simple din in frequency. That whenever you have two obligations, two mitzvahs in front of you, and you have to perform both, and you're not sure what the order is, whichever one occurs with greater frequency, that is the one that comes first. Let's say the machlokis Rav and Rava, and we'll just call it Rav and Rava, is the same machlokis of Beishan Beisal. So again, most remember, Rav has Sukkah and then Zman, Rava, Zman, and then Sukkah. So the Gemara is suggesting, let's say it's the same machlokis Beishan Beisal. What's machlokis Beishan Beisal? Tan Rabbanon, Dvarim, first white line, Dvarim Shebein Beishamai Ubeisila Besuda. Well, so the Gemara Maseches Brachos discusses a number of differences between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel when it comes to the laws of Brachos as they pertain to Seudah. You know, so one of the machlokesim is Beis Shammai says Mevarech Halayom, Ba'achar Kach Mevarech Halayom. I will say this is by a stam kiddush. Stam kiddush. So what is the proper order, ultimately, again, of the Brachos of Kiddush? So Beis Shammai says first you should make the bracha Alayom Kiddush. And then only afterwards should you make the bracha ala yayin bori pri hagafen. Bori pri hagafen. Look at Rashi. Mevarech ala yom, kishen mekadish ba'ardei Shabbos az kiddush hayom tchila, ba'achar kach birkas hayayin. So again, referring, let's say, to Friday night, where you have a more elaborate kiddush. He's not talking about Shabbos day, because Shabbos day, and I also remember, is a very simple kiddush. Shabbos day, kiddush really is only bori pri hagafen. The fact that we add on some additional psukim, that's gravy. You don't even technically need that. So on Friday night, Beis Shammai says, first you should make the bracha of Mekadesh HaShabbos, and then afterwards Hagafen. Beis Hillel says, Mavarech ala yayin, v'achar kach mavarech ala yom. And Beis Hillel says, no, first you should make a bracha of Brei Pri Hagafen, and then only afterwards should you make the bracha of Mekadesh HaShabbos. So says the Gemara, Beis Shammai omrim mavarech ala yom, v'achar kach mavarech ala yayin. So let's analyze this. So Beis Shammai says, you make a bracha on the yom, on Mekadesh HaShabbos, and afterwards on the Yayin. Why? Shehayom gorem liyayin sheyavo. Because Rav says it is the day, meaning why am I drinking wine? I'm not drinking wine, it's done because I want wine. I'm drinking wine because it's Shabbos. So therefore, because it's Shabbos that causes the bracha of wine to come about, therefore you should make Kiddush first, the bracha Mekadesh HaShabbos, and then only afterwards should you make the bracha brei pri hagafen. Ukva kiddush hayom. Furthermore, there's a second reason. It means what's Rabbi say? That it's already, I mean, you are going ahead and making kiddush on Friday night. Shabbos has already come up. As such, because it's already Shabbos, it's only appropriate to first go ahead and make the bracha mekadesh Shabbos, and afterwards yayin. Va'adayin yayin loba. And again, remember, essentially, Shabbos comes before there's even any wine. Shabbos sets in before wine even comes to the table. Ubeisilim says no. Mevarich alayayin va'arbozay nun vav amadalef. Remember, about six lines into the wide lines. First you make a hagafen, and then mekadesh Shabbos. Why? Shayayin gorim likidusha. Because I will say it is the wine that causes the Kiddush to be recited. What does that mean? That without wine, there's no Kiddush. I will say that's not totally true, because again, remember, if there's not wine, there's challah. But the point that Beis Hillel is making is that it is the object that ultimately causes Kiddush to be recited. Because remember, technically speaking, we already made Kiddush in davening. We didn't make Kiddush in davening, so we don't technically need to make Kiddush again. The reason I'm making Kiddush again now is to be able to recite it al hakos. So because the reason I'm making Kiddush now is to be able to recite al hakos, the kos therefore is dominant, and therefore hagafen comes before mekadesh Shabbos. Dover acher, another possibility is birkas hayayin tadira, ubirkas hayom ina tadira, tadir v'sheino tadir kodim. Furthermore, says Beis Hillel, there's another reason, a simpler reason, which is you have two brachos. One is Mekadesh HaShabbos, which is the Bracha of Shabbos. One is Hagafen of wine. And very simply, we make Hagafen more often than we make. Then, right, depending on some frequencies vary, individual to individual. But one thing is clear, which is we're certainly making Hagafen more often than we're making Mekadesh HaShabbos. Therefore, the mice again, Tadir Shino, Tadir Kodim. So we'll say now the Gemara suggests. Now remember, these two machloksim have absolutely, are talking about two different things. The machlokis, Rav and Rabba, is by Sukkah. Remember again, you have Rav saying Sukkah, va'achar kach zman, so leisheva Sukkah, and then Shech Yonu. Rav Abrachana saying Shech Yonu, and afterwards leisheva Sukkah. However, again, the common denominator is that one of Rabba's ideas was what? Tadir v'sheino, tadir kodem. That you say Shech Yonu more often than you say. Then you say leisheva Sukkah, therefore it comes first. The Gemara now is going to suggest Lema Rav to Amar Kibesh Shalai. Let's say that Rav holds like Lishan. So we'll say, remember, Rav who said that you say Leishev Basukah and afterwards Shech Yonu. And remember, what was Rav's logic? Rav's logic was Chiyuva Diyoma Adif, that the obligation of the day is the same, which sounds like Beis Shammai's reasoning that what? That it is the Yom that is goring the Kiddush. So because of that, Beis Shammai says, you make Mekadesh Shabbos before Brei Pri Hagafen. And V'Rabba Bar Barachana Damar Ki Beis Hillel, and Rabba Bar Barachana would say Beis Hillel, because they both say they both espouse the logic of what? Tadir V'Sheino Tadir Kodem. So remember, Rabba by Sukkah said we say Shech Yonu and then Leishev Basukah because Tadir V'Sheino Tadir Kodem, and Beis Shammai said you say Hagafen before Mekadesh Shabbos because Tadir V'Sheino Tadir Kodem. The Gemara says the following: Amar Lecha Rav. Rav says no. Ana Da'amri Afilu LeBeis Hillel. I could even say my position according to Beis Hillel. Remember, I will say, what did Rav say? Rav said, Leishev Basukah, and then Shech Yonu. So Rav is saying, my position even works according to Beis Hillel. How so? Ad kan lo kamin Beis Hillel hasam. Beis Hillel only espoused their shita by Kiddush. El shehayayin gorim mekidusha sheti amar. Because I will say, remember, what is Beis Hillel's logic? Beis Hillel's logic is that it is the wine that causes the Kiddush to be recited. Remember, again, without wine, there would be no need to recite Kiddush. The whole idea over here is Kiddush ala kos. Aval hocha. But here, ilav zman, nilo amin al sukkah. Is that true? Were it not for Shech Yonu, would we not still say leishev basukkah? Meaning, again, leishev basukkah is a standalone bracha. We would say leishev basukkah. We'll say, meaning, let's say for argument's sake, I didn't say Shech Yonu, or I said Shech Yonu before I came home from shul. I would still say leishev basukkah, which means that leishev. So what Rav is saying is like this. Really, Beis Hillel Shita is that the dominant bracha of the day has to be recited first, and that's why Beis Hillel says that lemaisa, again, it is the yayin, it is the wine that causes the Kiddush to be recited. Therefore, the wine should go first. So therefore, again, really what logic of Beis Hillel says that it is the subject that causes the Kiddush to be recited that should have its bracha recited first. So by Shabbos night Kiddush, by Friday night Kiddush, that's the wine, because it's the cup of wine that causes the Kiddush to be recited, because the Maisik, without wine, there's no Kiddush. So it says Rav Beisil would agree with me, therefore, that on the first night of Sukkot, what bracha should go first? Leshiva Sukkah. Why? Because it's the mitzvah of Sukkah that drives everything that we're doing. Rav Barbachana would say to you, my position even works with Beishamai. How so? Ad kanokarim Beishamai. Hasam elashayom gorim liyayim. So where Beishamai holds by Kiddush, that you first make Mekadesh HaShabbos, and then only afterwards Hagaf, and why? Because Beishamai's logic is, it is the day that creates the obligation for Kiddush. It's not the wine that creates the obligation. It's Shabbos that creates the obligation. Therefore, Mekadesh HaShabbos should go first. However, Aval Hacha, I love Sukkah, Milo Amrinon Zman. But over here, were it not for the Sukkah, would we not recite Zman Rosa? Now, what that means is, literally translated, where if the Sukkah was not here, would we not recite Zman? Which, of course, would not be true. Meaning, even if there is no Sukkah, you would also, let's say you eat inside on the first night, you would still recite Shechianu, because the Maisa, again, the Shechianu devolves upon the Yom Tov itself. Look at Rashi for just a moment. I love Sukkah. Ilav yeshiva b'sukkah, milo aminan zman. If I were not sitting in the sukkah, would I not be reciting Shechianu? Okay, going holchi drachim determine a sukkah. For example, let's say travelers who are exempt from sukkah, omrim zman b'shvil amoid, would still recite Shechianu because of the yomtiv, kimo b'sharigalim, just like on any other yomtiv. So therefore, again, I will say, so therefore, Rav Barbachana says, you know, my logic of putting Shechianu first and then leishiv b'sukkah is why? Is because l'maisa Shechianu is a standalone idea. You recite Shechianu, you see that what he's saying is like this. The bracha of Leishei Basukah is tethered to the Sukkah, which means no Sukkah, no bracha. The bracha of Shechianu is not tethered to anything. I should say it is tethered to something. What is it tethered to? It's tethered to the Yom Tov, which means that no matter what your Sukkah circumstances, you are still going to recite Shechianu, which essentially, according to Rabbi Rachana, means that it's a more powerful bracha. Because it's a more powerful bracha in that it applies in all circumstances. You're going to recite it no matter what your Sukkah circumstances are. Therefore, it should be recited first. And even Beis Shammai would agree with this logic. So the Gemara says, Tanan, Ba'aseres Omer Lo. So remember, the Mishnah said that on Shavuos, when Shavuos falls out on Shabbos, so we say to the Kohanim who are there, Omer Lo, Helech Matzah, Helech Chametz. We give each coin a portion of Matzah, which means Lechem Aponim, and a portion of the Shtei Lechem. Ay, Baha Hocha. Now, we'll say, now, remember, the whole reason we brought up this whole discussion was for this statement. What the Gemara is picking up on over here is the order. So first of all, just we'll actually do the halacha l'maisa on the sugya of Rav and Rav Bar Bachana. What comes out, Rabbi Osai, is that you cannot necessarily line up the machlokis b'shamay and b'silo with the machlokis Rav and Rabba Bar Bachana. That's what comes out. That apparently now there are two separate machloksim that cannot necessarily be aligned with one another. Now, why are we bringing all of this up? Because our Mishnah says something very interesting. Our Mishnah said that when they're giving out the lechem aponim and the shtei halechem to the kohanim who are in the Beis HaMikdash, how did they distribute it? They said, take your matzah, take your chametz, take your lechem aponim, take your shtei halechem. Now, the Gemara says, it's very interesting. Remember, this is happening when? On Shavuos. On Shavuos, what's the primary item? The Shtei Alechem, which is the Chametz. And yet, v'ha'ha'cha the Chametz Iker, u'matza tafel. So even though, again, the Chametz, the Shtei Alechem, is the primary item, and the Matzah Lechem Aparim is the secondary item, and yet what? V'katoni helich matza v'helich Chametz. And yet, what does it say? When distributing it, the distribution is stated as, take your matzah, take your lechem upon him, and take your chametz. Now, we'll say, why would that be? Why would that be? Must be employing the logic of what? Tadir v'sheino tadir kodem. Because the distribution of the lechem upon him occurs more often than the distribution of shtei lechem. Therefore, the distribution of the lechem upon him occurs first. And therefore, tiyufta derav. This is the refutation of Rav. Because of also, I remember employing the logic of Tadir Vishino Tadir, which bracha should come first when you're making Kiddush on the first night of Sukkot, Shechianu, and then Leishei Basukah. So this would effectively refute the position of Rav, who says that the order is Leishei Basukah, and then Shechianu. Amr Lecha Rav, Rav says, one second, Tanoihi. In reality, this is a Machlokes Tanoim. Disanya, Halach matzah, halach chametz. Because again, yes, we have a brisa that says that when distributing these two items, they would say, take your lechem aponim, take your shtei lechem. Abba Shol says, no. The right order was halach chametz, halach matzah. So both said there were two different girsos as to how it was distributed. So Rav says, before you discount my shita, just know that there is a gear, so there is a version that supports my approach as well. Dorash Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista, lo kitivei Rav do amar sukkah ba'achar kach zman. The halacha does not follow Rav, who says that on the first night of Sukkot we recite leishei ba'sukkah then shechianu, ela zman va'achar kach sukkah. Rather, we recite shechianu and then leishei ba'sukkah like Rav bar Chanan. The Rav Sheshes Brei, Rav Idi Amar Rav Sheshes Brei, Rav Idi says sukkah ba'achar kach zman. That the halacha is we recite leishei ba'sukkah and then only afterwards shechianu. The hilchas asukkah the achar kach zman, and indeed halacha lemaisa we paskin that first we recite leishei basukkah and then shechianu. We'll say we'll come back when we finish the gemara. We'll come back. I'm going to show you the halacha lemaisa because it's very interesting for us for the two nights. Obviously, the gemara over here is only talking about on the first night that the proper order is leishei basukkah and then shechianu. Which of course the logic behind that is what Rabbi say that the shechianu goes on two things. The shechianu goes both on the sukkah as well as on the Chag, so as well as on the Yom Tov. So because of that, we place the Shechianu at the end in order to show that it devolves upon both items. The interesting question we'll do with the Halacha is what do you do on the second night? So we'll come back. Well, actually, let me just show it to you right now. Let's go. Let's finish the Gemara first. We have to finish. We'll come back at the end. Mishmar Shezmanu Kavua, Ushar Kavanas Tzibor. So we'll say, remember again, the Mishnah said that all of the Mishmoros, all of the watches, get to go ahead and share all of the karbonos that are associated with the Chag. But all regular karbonos are done by the Mishmar, whose allotted time it actually is. So the Gemara says, Mishmar Shezmanu Kavua Shar Karbonos Sibor. So they also offer all other communal karbonos. Lasuyemai, what does that phrase, all other communal karbonos, come to include? Lasuye par helam davar shel tzibor. Oh, you know what it comes to include? It comes to include par ha'elam davar shel tzibor. So we'll say par ha'elam davar shel tzibor is when the Sanhedrin issues an erroneous ruling. The majority of the populace follows it and does something that would have normally been punishable by death or by kares. So there is a special karban that is brought on behalf of the tzibor. So if they have to bring a par ha'elam davar shel tzibor, that is brought by the mishmar who is on call. Similarly, if the Sanhedrin issued an erroneous ruling, and as a result, the majority of the population worshipped that Avodah Zarah, same thing, that the Mishmar who was on call would offer up that Karban, and not the other Mishmaros. And the Mishmar that's on call offers everything. What does this come to include? This takes us back to our Shkalim days. What does it come to include? It comes to include literally Ketz HaMizbeach means the dessert of the Mizbeach. What does it mean, Rabbi said that? We know the Mizbeach is never supposed to be idle. So if you had a situation where Lemaisa, again, there were for some reason no karbanos being offered, remember again, they used the extra half shekels that were collected for Shlamim, for all those in Shlamim that there should be karbanos brought. So if for some reason the Mizbeach was dormant and they brought these additional karbanos, it was the Mishmar who was on call that would bring these karbanos. Mishnah, Yom Tov HaSamach L'Shabbos Be'imil Fana Be'imil Acharav. So we'll say, when Yom Tov fell out in close proximity to Shabbos, whether before it or after it, we'll see what this means in the Gemara. Hayu Kol Mishmaros Shabbos B'chiluk Lechem Apanim. And Rabbi said, this is a very interesting discussion. Up until now, we've been discussing the status of all of the Mishmaros on Yom Tov itself. But let's say again, Yom Tov fell out either before or after Shabbos. And again, we'll discuss what exactly this means. So Kohanim were in the Beis HaMikdash either. So all the other Kohanim were in the Beis HaMikdash either a little bit earlier or later. So the halacha is that on the Shabbos before the Shabbos after, they would also have a right to be able to share in the lechem aponim. Chalios lo yom echad lahafsik bintayim. But however, again, if there was a day in between Yom Tov and Shabbos, mishmar shezmano kavua hayanotel esel chalos. So we'll say again, and now let's say it turns out that there was a day in between. Let's say the conclusion of Yom Tov and Shabbos, there was time technically for the Kohanim to go home, but they didn't. They stayed anyway for the Shabbos. So the halach is that the Mishmar, whose actual time it is, meaning the Mishmar whose responsibility is that week, they would receive 10 loaves of the lechem aponim, v'amisakiv notel shtayim, and the lingering kohanim would receive two. They'd have to split two loaves between them. U'b'shaymos hashana, and during the rest of the year, hanichnas notel sheish, the one, the shift coming, I also remember, the shifts changed over on Shabbos. So we actually saw this before in Yuma and in Shkolim as well, that the way it worked is that when the shifts changed on Shabbos, so the shift coming in would receive 6 of the 12 loaves, the hayotzi notel sheish, and the shift going out would take 12 loaves. Rabbi Huda says, hanichnas notel sheva. Rabbi Huda says, no, the shift coming in actually takes 7 loaves, v'hayotzi notel chamish, and the shift going out only takes 5. The reason for that is, by the way, we actually saw this before, remember in Shkolim. The reason for that is because the shift coming in has to do a little bit of additional work. And what is that? They have to close the doors. Remember that morning, the shift who was on call opened the doors. The shift who takes over that day has to finish the job by closing the doors. In payment, so to speak, for the additional work they have to do, meaning cleaning up after the first shift, finishing up the work of the first shift, they get 2 extra loaves. Now, obviously, it always equals out, right? It always equals out because, again, the shift that's coming in this week is a shift that's going out next week. Those who are going ahead, yeah, okay, so we'll see this more in the Gemara. Those who are coming into the Beis HaMikdash take their lechem aponim and divide it amongst themselves in the northern part of the Beis HaMikdash. And I will say, Rashi points out over here, cholkin betzafon has tamagir lechalkan kidarmina b'gimara, k'dishir nechnasin shatzafon ikar, sharikava kosov l'shchidas kotshek adashim. The northern part of the Beis HaMikdash was considered to be the most chashuv because it was in the northern part of the Beis HaMikdash that the kotshek kadoshim, that the holiest of sacrifices, were slaughtered. V'ayotzin bedarom, and the kohanim going out, the ship going out, would divide up and eat their lechem aponim in the southern part of the Beis HaMikdash. Bilga was the name of one of the Mishmoros. Mishmoros were all known by names, usually by the name of the most prominent family in that particular shift. So the shift of Bilga, the Olam Cholekes Bidaron. Oh, now we're going to see that the shift of Bilga was penalized. We'll discuss why. So Bilga always had to eat their lechem aponim in the south. That was one of their punishments. They always had to eat their bread in the south, even when they were the nichnas, even when they were the shift that was coming in. Furthermore, v'tabasa kavua, we will see, remember again, in the, I don't have my Beis HaMikdash drawing with me. So remember again, right by the Mizbeach, they had rings, right? They had this picture over here. They had 24 rings. And those rings ultimately, again, were there to go ahead and they actually was a semicircle. And it was locked into the ground. So you were able to open it up, put the animal's head in there, close it. And that kept the animal stationary during Shechita. Each of the 24 Mishmoros each had their own ring. The ring of Bilga was locked, literally was affixed in its closed position, so that Bilga was unable to use it. We'll see why. Furthermore, Vitavasa Kvua Bechalona Stuma. Furthermore, I will say, right by the rings, there was also, I guess what we'll call, for lack of a better term, Kohanic cubbies. So where did you keep in your Kohanic cubby?
Knives.
What does anybody keep in their cubby? Each shift had their cubby, they kept their shechita knives. The cubby, the locker of Bilga was locked. So Bilga, the family of Bilga were penalized for reasons we'll see. They still served, but they were penalized. Says the Gemara, what does it mean? I must remember the Mishnah began with the statement that Kohanim who are there in the Beis HaMikdash, either the Shabbos before Yom Tov or the Shabbos after Yom Tov, also get to share in the Lechem Aponim. What does it mean before or after? Ilema Lefana Yom Tov Rishon, if you want to say that Lefaneha means that Shabbos fall, or that first day Yom Tov falls down on Shabbos, and Lachareha means Yom Tov Acharon, and afterwards means the last day of Yom Tov falls down on Shabbos, Hainu Shabbos Shabbosoch HaKad. So Rabbi said that's the previous Mishnah. That's talking about Shabbos that falls out on Yom Tov, and we just had in the previous Mishnah. Ela lefaneha Yom Tov Acharon, ulachareha Yom Tov Rishon. Rather, Rabbi said what this means is the following: that when Shabbos falls out, lefaneha before Yom Tov Rishon. Rabbi says, so what are you talking about over here? When Yom Tov falls out on Sunday, you see, when Yom Tov fell out on Sunday, unless you were a Kohen that lived in Yerushalayim, what were you going to have to do? You had to come to the Beis HaMikdash when? on Friday. Because remember, if Yom Tov falls out on Sunday, that means Yom Tov begins Matzei Shabbos. You have to be there by Matzei Shabbos, which means you have to travel there already, but you have to be there by Erev Shabbos. And Lachareha means what? Where let's say Yom Tov ends Friday afternoon going into Shabbos, in which case you'd have to spend the Shabbos before or the Shabbos after in the Beis HaMikdash. So what the Mishnah is teaching us is that Lemaise, again, if you are a Kohen who, and remember all the Mishmoros show up for the Regel, and the way it just turned out is that Yom Tov was on Sunday, or Yom Tov ended on Friday, Lemaise, you had to spend an additional Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash. You had the opportunity to share in the additional Lechem upon him. So the Gemara says, my time, Kevan dahani mekadbi vahani ma'achri, tiknu rabbanan milsa, because again, since these Kohanim pretty much again, unless you're from Yerushalayim, you had to spend Shabbos, what else were you going to do? I mean, I guess you could spend it by a friend in Yerushalayim. You didn't have to spend the Beis HaMikdash. But since there would be Kohanim who would have to be in the Beis HaMikdash, because again, either Yom Tov fell out right after Shabbos, or Yom Tov fell out right before Shabbos, therefore again, Chazal instituted they should get to share in the Lechem upon him. Amadeus. Vahani tarti mai avidetayu. So also here's what's interesting. Remember again, so the Mishnah said that Chal Yom Echad. This is an interesting case. So let's say now, however, Yom Tov ends on Thursday night. So if Yom Tov ends on Thursday night, so Lemaise now there's time in between the conclusion of Yom Tov and ultimately again the beginning of Shabbos. So what's the halacha in that case? In that particular situation, Chal Yom Echad Lahafsik Bein Tayim, Mishmar Shazmanu Kavod Hayinot Sabos. In that case, so Mishmar was on call, took 10 loaves, and the other and anyone else who was there divided up 2 loaves. So the Gemara says, "Vahani Tarti Maya Viratayu." So we'll say now, here's what's interesting. Now this is actually now what the Gemara is commenting on. If you look at Rashi, "Vahani Tarti Maya Viratayu," as Rabbi Yehuda Koi, the Amar Nichnas Notol Shevet. Remember, we'll say, when on Shabbos, when the shifts changed, so we had 2 opinions in the Mishnah. The first opinion in the Mishnah said that the incoming shift took 6 loaves and the outgoing shift took 6 loaves. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the incoming shift took 7 loaves and the outgoing shift took 5 loaves. So why does the incoming shift take 7? Why did they get an extra 2? Really an extra 1. But why the 2? What are these 2 loaves? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Bischar Hagafas Delosos. Because Rabbi Yitzchak said, because the incoming Mishmar has to go ahead and close the doors that were opened by the first Mishmar, therefore those 2 loaves are considered to be an additional payment for their additional service. So I don't understand. The name of Dal Bidal, why don't they say to each other, listen, let's just call it even. You know, we'll say, remember, in reality, they're not really benefiting anything. Why? Because the shift that's coming in this week that gets 7, when it goes out next week, will what? Get 5. So why don't they just say to each other, listen, let's call it even. Let's just, like the Tanakhama said, let's just take 6 and 6. It's very interesting. So Amar Abaye, I'll say it's a very profound statement. Botsina tava mikra. A small gourd is better than a large gourd. And we'll say, what does that mean? What does that mean? That's meaning, if somebody gives you an offer, I'll give you a small gourd now. Or if you wait a little bit longer, the gourd, you know, the gourd will grow. You know, and Amir Tashem Mishatova, I'll give you in another, you know, month a big gourd. So the Gemara says, if somebody offers you a big gourd or a small gourd, take the small gourd. Or in other words, they both say that sometimes the yesod is better to have something now. Even if it's a little bit less than to go ahead and wait for something greater later on. So better to take the 7 now than to be able to get 6 later on. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. Rashi says, "Botzina tava mikra, mashal hedyotu." It's a simple mashal. Ha'omer lechaver delas ketana aniusin lecha b'mechaber. I'll give you a small gourd b'mechaber. Imtirtzel etol sha'achshav talush v'imtirtzel anicha ad shitigadol v'ta'asekra hanicha v'tigdol tov lo litla miad. So we'll say sometimes again, you never know what's going to happen in the future. So if you have the opportunity now, take it. So the Maisa again, because they're doing additional avoda now, we give them the extra loaf, even though in reality they're not really benefiting because they'll lose that loaf next week. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda, Mosafin Cholkin. So Rabbi Yehuda said that by Musafin they go ahead and also divide up. Look at Rashi. The Musafin Cholkin. Now we'll say, comes along Rabbi Yehuda and says that the same way that the shift, the incoming shift and the outgoing shift, split the lechem aponim, they also split the musafin. He also splits, remember this is Shabbos, this is a Musaf offering. They also split the Musaf. Now what does it mean to split the Musaf? Rabbi will say, that's what Rashi says. They're splitting again the oros, the height, because remember it's all about, when we say the splitting, the hides were a source of income for the Kohanim. So this is Rabbi Yehuda, the same way they split the lechem upon him, they also split the Musaf. Meisvei mishmara hayotzeis osa tamashal shachar umusafim. But yet the Braisa says that the outgoing mishmar does the tamashal shachar, and the Musaf mishmara hanichnes, that's the incoming mishmar, osa tamashal bein harbayim, does the afternoon tamid. Ubazichin, bazichin of also are the two spoons of frankincense that were put on the shulchan. Ve'ilu musafin cholkin lo katoni. And yet the Braisa does not say anything about what? About the shifts dividing up the musafin. So the Gemara says, it's not a kasha. Hay tana bechaluka lo kamari. Because that tana of that Braisa is not talking about chaluka, it's not talking about dividing things up. Amar Rava, the hot tana de Bishmuel, the mari bechaluka musafin lo katoni. But yet again, the tana of the yeshiva of Shmuel that was speaking about division of carbonic items, and yet what? It did not say anything about splitting the Musaf. The Tana, bless you, the Tana de Beis Shmuel, because the Tana de Beis Shmuel taught, Mishmara hayotzeis osa tamishal shachar, umusafin, Mishmara hanichneses osa tamishal bein rabai ubazichin. The Braisa says what? That the outgoing Mishmar would go ahead and do the morning tamid and the Musaf, and the incoming Mishmar would do the afternoon tamid and burn the spoons of frankincense. Arba kohanim hayu nichnasin sham. There were four kohanim who were there. Shnayim mishmar zu. Two from the incoming mishmar, two from the outgoing mishmar. Mishmar zu. The cholkin lechem aponim. And they would divide the lechem aponim. So we'll say apparently each mishmar would contribute, would have two kohanim representing them, and they would divide the lechem aponim between the two shifts. Ve'ilu b'musafin cholkin lo katani. And yet the Braisa makes no mention of dividing up the Musafin. Therefore, Tiyufta de Rabbi Yehuda, Tiyufta. The Rabbi said this indeed is a refutation of Rabbi Yehuda's position. Indeed, it is a refutation. And the Musafin were not divided. Rather, the Musafin themselves were handled by the outgoing Mishmar. Okay. Hanichnasin Cholki B'tzavas. Remember, the Mishnah said that the incoming Mishmar splits up, divides up, and eats their lechem upon him in the northern side of the Beis HaMikdash. Ten Rabbanan, hanichnasin cholkin betzafon, kedei sheyiru shehin nichnasin. They eat in the northern part of the Beis HaMikdash in order that it should be seen that they are entering. Can I borrow your Beis HaMikdash thing again? So we'll say again, if you remember again, so the idea is that they eat in the northern part. They eat in the northern part, therefore indicating that they're readying themselves for the service of the Beis HaMikdash, as opposed to in the southern part, which puts them towards many of the other gates that will lead out to the Har HaBayis, which indicates that Lamaisa, they are readying to exit the Beis HaMikdash. Thank you. I didn't have to bother you for that. Sorry, I wasn't all right. So the Gemara says the following. Again, Tarabana Hacholkin Nichnasin Butzafon Kedishiyushin Nichnasin. So the ones who go ahead and divide up, the incoming shift that eats, that divides and eats in the north, are doing so in order that it be clear that they are entering into the service of the Beis HaMikdash. V'ayotzin Cholkin Bedarom, and the ones who are leaving, go ahead and divide up and eat their lechem aponim in the south, Kedishiyushin Yotz, in order that it should be clear that they are leaving. Bilga li olam cholak is mudar. So now the Mishnah told us about the family of Bilga. Something happened with the Kohanic family of Bilga, and they were penalized. Remember, again, they were penalized in three ways. Number one, they always ate their lechem aponim in the south. Even when they were the incoming shift, they still ate in the south, number one. Number two, the tabas, their shechita ring, was permanently affixed in the closed position, precluding them from using. Again, they had to use someone else's shechita ring, and their cubby was sealed off, and therefore they did not have a distinct place in which to put their knives. So the Gemara says, what happened? Tana Rabbanan, this is a fascinating Gemara. Ma'aseh b'Miriam bas Bilga. The Torah tells us, the Gemara tells a story about the Miriam, the daughter of Bilga. So again, Bilga was the patriarch of this family, and he had a daughter, Miriam. Shemira data. She gave up her Judaism. She became an apostate. She became a heretic. And what happened? V'holcha v'nises l'sarajyot echa min malchi Yevanim. Not only did she become a heretic, but she went out and she married a very prominent Roman officer. Greek officer, excuse me. L'sarajyot rabosei means like an officer. Literally, sarajyot is from the Loshon of satrap. Right? So satrap, actually it's interesting. The satraps, just an aside, I don't know why I know this piece of information, but it's interesting. Satraps were actually, again, the original rulers established by Alexander the Great. Remember, Alexander conquered a massive, massive kingdom, and Alexander's great difficulty was he wasn't able to necessarily control all of it. So he established each of his generals as satraps, which essentially were like mini kings over these different dominions. When he died, remember, Alexander the Great dies without an heir, dies without a successor, and that's where, again, his whole empire is divided up by his generals. In any event, she marries a sarajyot from one of the Greek kings, from the Greek royalty. And what happened? Kishenichnesu yivanon lehechal, when the Greeks ultimately entered into the Beis HaMikdash, so Miriam Bas Bilga came with them. Miva'etes b'sandala al gabi ha-mizbeach. She began to kick the Mizbeach. Now remember, this is the daughter of a Kohen. She began to kick the Mizbeach, and she said, Va'amra, locus, locus. I will say, Rashi says, locus is Greek for wolf. You wolf, you wolf. She's speaking to Mizbeach. Ad matzai ata mechale mamonon shel Yisrael. How long will you continue to consume the money of the Jewish people? Meaning a reference to the fact that we burn all of these altars on the Mizbeach, and yet, when they need you, you're not here for them. So Miriam Baspilga was angry, right? She kicks the Mizbeach. How you take, and yet when your people need you, you don't even stand up for them. When the Chachamim heard what happened, Kavu es Tabasa, they sealed off the ring, the slaughter ring, of the Bilga family. Visasmu es chalona, and they went ahead and they sealed up the cubby of the Bilga family. V'yesh omrim mishmarto shohel, I'm sorry, visasmu es chalona. Fine. So according to this version, the reason why the Bilga family is penalized is because of the actions of Miriam Bas Bilga. Now we'll discuss why the whole family should be held accountable for the actions of one girl. Now there's another version. V'yesh omrim, no. There was another reason why.
The Yevanim came in at this point to destroy the Beis HaMikdash?
Yeah.
So they closed it after that?
I'm sorry?
I'm just confused. In other words, the Yevanim at that point destroyed the Beis HaMikdash?
No. Remember again, the Yevanim, we had the Beis HaMikdash after the Yevanim. Right? Yevanim, remember, this is by like the Hanukkah story, where the Yevanim come in, not necessarily destroy it, but defile it. So Miriam Bas Bilga, this is Chashmonai era. Chashmonai era. And then when the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash took place, that's when they sealed off the Bilga's ring. From others say, no, it's nothing to do with Miriam Bas Bilga. And rather, Meshmarta Shualavo. You know why they penalized the Bilga? I will say it's a very important episode. Because Bilga was always late. Bilga was always late. And therefore, I will say, by the way, there's nothing I will say. You should just know, again, this is not like a Mussar. Okay? I just want to tell you, you know, it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing that you have to treat Avodas Hashem like you treat your profession. And people don't show up repeatedly late for work because Lemaise, again, you're going to lose your job. And even if you're the boss, you don't show up late for work because Lemaise, again, at the end of the day, you know, you take an interest in it. It's an amazing thing that when you come to greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether it's during the week or whether it's on Shabbos, a person really has to understand that the time they walk through the doors to be able to greet the Ribono Shel Olam is exceptionally representative about how important this is in their life. So if a person saunters in at some time that's after the start, just understand, again, there's always reasons, like Meis Mitzvah, that you can't get there on time. Right? But leaving aside those particular situations, just understand that the time you walk in speaks volumes about what this actually means to you in your life. So what happens? So Bilga goes ahead, and Bilga's not showing up on time. Remember, we'll say, again, compound this, because remember, it's not like Kohanim are serving there every single day. Right, Kohanim are getting 2 weeks. Some get 3 weeks, but 2 weeks a year. You're not there that often, and yet the week that they're there, they just show up late. V'nichnas yishabev achiv imo. And what happens? You talk to him. So say again. So yishabev, who was one of the other families that served along with Bilga, one of the families that served along with Bilga, would just Bilga didn't show up. So yishabev took over. And what happened? So under normal circumstances, So under normal circumstances, even though being the shachin, being the neighbor of a rasha, doesn't usually give you too many benefits, but in this case, Yeshavev benefited from being the shachin, from being the quote-unquote neighbor of Bilga. And I will say, it's actually quite dramatic also that they're calling Bilga a rasha for showing up late. That how can you take the service of the Ribono Shel Olam so lightly that you just saunter in when you're ready? So even though normally you don't benefit from being the shachin, from being the neighbor of a rasha, so it happens that Yeshavev did benefit from it. Shebilga the Olam Cholekes Bedaram, the Yeshavev Achiv Betzapon. Because the Maisa Rebbe said, because Bilga always has to go ahead and eat and divide up their lechem upon him on in the southern side, because of that, Yeshavev, even when they are the outgoing family, has to eat in the north because there's not enough room. Okay, so we'll say, so there are two different versions. So Bishlam Alaman Omer Mishmar Yeshua Lavo Hainu Dikan Sinon Lekula Mishmar. So we'll say, so now we have two different versions as to what happened with the Bilga family. So I understand if you tell me that the reason why we penalized the Bilga family, the reason why we closed off the ring and we closed off the cubby, and it was because that they were late. So I understand, because now what we're saying is the whole family was late. The Kohanim of the Bilga family were latecomers. So because of that, the entire family is penalized. Elamand Amar Miriam Bas Bilga Shemira Dato Mishum Barte Kansina Leledide. Bravo say, now the Gemara is a very, very profound question. But according to the first version, that the Bilga family was penalized because of the actions of Miriam, because of the actions of the daughter, you're going to penalize the family. Bravo say, this is very profound Gemara. Amar Abai in. Abai says, yes, you know why? Kida Amri Inshi Shusa Dienuka Bishuka. What a child says in the marketplace, O Da'avua. Odiime, he got it from his mother, or he got it from his father. Rabbi say, look at Rashi. What does this mean? Rashi says, "Shusa diyunuka b'shuka odavu odiime." Mashal hedyotu, masha tinok medabre b'shuk. What a child speaks about in the marketplace, may aviv omi imo, comes from his father or his mother. Af ze imlo sham am eviya. So Rabbi say, what does that mean? What it means is that children learn a lot from their parents. The way a child conducts him or herself, what a child does is very much representative of the chinuch that he or she received in the home. So the Rashi says over here, Afze im lo shama me'avia shahayim mevazeh sa'avoda lo amra kein. But fine. So therefore, Rashi says, what the Gemara is saying, that had Miriam Bas Bilga not picked up, now again, lav dafka that her father said the Mizbeach is a wolf, but at some point in time, she must have picked up some disparaging overtone from her father about something about the Avod. We'll say, this is another incredible yisod. How, just to globalize this, how adults, how parents speak about Judaism is what sets the tone for their children. I will say that's why, again, you know, parents who, and this is not just true in Judaism. I will say, if you see a cynical, jaded person, people like are brimming with cynicism and anger, say the first step is look at their parents. Because chances are, if a person is filled with a negative midah, chances are it comes from the home. Not that we blame everything on our parents. It's convenient to blame everything on our parents, but we have to take a lot of personal responsibility. But lemaisa, our original chinuch does come from our parents. So the Gemara says, for Miriam Bas Bilga to have such a dramatic turnaround that she's kicking the mizbeach, it doesn't mean, again, that lemaisa, her father, did this at home, but it must have mean that her father said or gave off, emoted some disparaging vibe about the avoda. He says, Shusa the Yanuka.
What about Rachel and Esav, for example? I mean, you have one good, one bad. Who do you blame? Do you blame the father?
Parents have responsibility for how their children turn out, mm-hmm. at least in part. Absolutely. Okay. A parent loves their kids.
Children, that's one thing, but when you're talking adults.
Adults are big children. I'm saying most of us don't grow out of the things we acquired during our childhood. Again, there's a fine line. Children have responsibility for what they become, but there's no question that the home we grow up in, the messages we receive from our parents, you know, I always say, parents often, this is just another, a lot of Muslim today, but, you know, parents often don't realize that, you know, what you talk about around the Shabbos table, leaves a tremendous impression upon your children. And that's children grow. You'd be surprised how much chinuch happens around the 2 hours between, I was going to say between 12 and 2, but no one from the shul is home by 12.
Yeah.
Right? Let's say between 1 and 3. You know, right? The chinuch that children get between 1 and 3 at the Shabbos table, what's discussed? What's important, how parents talk about other people, how parents talk about Judaism, how parents talk about other Jews, volumes of chinuch, just in that little bit of time. That's the impression. Let's finish. So the Gemara says the following. So yes, the Gemara blames the Bilga family for the actions of Miriam Bas Bilga. So again, even if you want to say the parents are responsible, then the Maisa, again, can you blame the entire Mishmar? Can you blame the entire Mishmar for that? Amar Abaye says yes. Oy l'rasha, oy l'shcheino. Yes. Even though, again, you're right. You can, and most, even if you want to blame the parents, okay, that's Mr. and Mrs. Bilga. What about all the uncles and aunts and cousins and everyone else? You know what? So they're all part of the same family. If you're in the family of Bilga and you have parents that unfortunately again did something that set off this girl, then Lemais, again, unfortunately, the entire family is tainted as well. Tov l'rasha, tov l'tzadik, tov l'shcheno, shene emar, imru l'tzadik, say to the tzadik, ki tov, ki pri ma'al aleihem yochilu. So we'll say the Gemara wants to end off on the positive note over here. The Gemara does not want to end off on this negative idea. So again, the Bilga family, and we'll say it's very dramatic. So remember, there are two different stories. If you go with the approach that the Bilga family is penalized because Lemaisa, again, they were always late, then the story of Miriam Bas Bilga is a sad, tragic, and unfortunate story, but has nothing to do with how Bilga is treated in the Beis HaMikdash. But again, if you go with the Miriam Bas Bilga narrative, then what you have over here is Chazal, and it could be that there's more to the story that the Gemara is not sharing with us. But Chazal felt that the level of egregious behavior exhibited by Miriam Bas Bilga was so over the top, And again, it is over the top if you think about it, marrying into a prominent Greek, marrying, you know, one thing to go off the derech and say you don't want anything to do with Judaism. Okay, that's a personal decision a person makes. It's another thing to identify with the aggressor. It's another thing to actually identify with the persecutor. That's above and beyond. It's another thing to say, I don't want anything to do with the Mizbeach. It's enough to say, what? And we'll say, you know, it's an amazing thing. Sometimes the greatest non-believers are the greatest believers. Because what does Miriam Bas Bilga do when she walks into the Beis HaMikdash? See, if the Mizbeach was really meaningless, then why would she even bother? But she goes and she talks to it. Why? Because Miriam Bas Bilga knows deep down. What does she know deep down? She knows someone's listening. She knows. So that over-the-top behavior, something must have happened to this young lady. Something must have occurred. But Lamais again, Chazal felt that it represented such a spiritual tainted kite, if that's a word, right, of the Bilga family that they penalized the entire family. But the Gemara, in order to go ahead and end on a positive note, says, yes, we penalized the Bilga family because Lamais said there was something in that family that created a Miriam Bas Bilga. But at the same time, it applies on the positive as well. Tov l'tzadik, tov l'shcheino. Instill your family with good, and Emir Hashem, that good will pervade throughout the family as well. Shene Emar, because the pasuk says, Imru tzadik ki tov. Say to the tzadik that he is good. Ki pri ma'al aleihem yochilu. Because Rabbi say, if we go ahead and create good in our lives, if we create good with our children, if we create good within our families, within our communities, if we keep creating waves and waves of good, pri ma'al aleihem yochilu, Emir Hashem will be zochet to eat the peros of our positive activity. Hadron Allah Chacholil, Uslik Allah Meseches Sukkah. I'm sorry. Oh yeah, halacha. We'll say, just by the way, the Siyum, Ari's going to send it out, Emir Tzashem. Emir Tzashem on the email, but I believe we're going to be doing a Siyum by Shalash Shudis this coming Shabbos. So just watch your email for further details. So we'll say, just let me show you the halacha, just very quickly. So remember again, today we did an interesting sugya about the order of Leshev Basukah as well as Shechyanu. So just quickly, so again, in page 1, so here the Shulchan Aruch discusses the Seder for the first night. Page 1, this is Tzivin Tav Reish Mem Gimel. Seder HaKiddush, the Seder HaKiddush on the first night is Yayin Kiddush Sukkah V'Acher Kach Zman. We make the Bracha of Hagapen, then the Bracha of Mekadish Yisrael V'Azmanim, then Leshev Basukah, and then Shechyanu. Lefi Shazman Choser Al Kiddush Hayom. Turn the page. Because we'll say again, Shechyanu on the first night goes for what? goes both for Sukkah as well as the Chag. So we'll say that is our order. Hagofen, Mikadish Tov Azmanim, Leishev Vasukkah, Shechiyana. What about second night? Turn the page, go to page 3. It's going quickly just because of time. Simit Tafresh Samech Aleph, Belel Yom Tov Sheni, on Yom Tov Sheni, Omer, Kiddush Uzman Acharav Miad, the Achar Kach Birchas Sukkah. On the second night, the Mechaber Paskin is that we should switch the order, and in fact, we should say first Shechiyana, and then the mitzvah of, and then the bracha of Leishev Vasukkah. And the Rama writes, V'chein Roy Linho. And this indeed is the proper order. Because Rabosai, again, in this case, this man, the Shechiyanu, Mishnah Berurah says, only refers to Kiddush, does not refer to the Chag of Sukkot, because again, we said the Shechiyanu on the Chag of Sukkot already last night. And therefore, again, because the Shechiyanu on the second night is only related to Kiddush, not related to the Chag, therefore, it should be recited in close proximity to the Chag after the bracha of Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim. So you would say Shechiyanu, and then afterwards you would say Leishev Vasukkah. However, the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Beis on the bottom says V'chein Roy Linog V'ini Haradvas Chilek Alasim Menvav Barashal Datam Kavi Ezri Dili Olam Sukkah V'achar Kach Zman. Radvaz and others say no. The order on the second night is the same as the order on the first night. Just like on the first night you say Leishev Basukah and Shechiyanu, so to second night Umikom Makom Lomikri Hefsek Mashon Bein Saim. So both say so. The Maisa again, it's a machlokas what to do the second night. The Mechaber paskins that you should reverse the order on the second night, and you should say first Shechiyanu and then Leishev Basukah. Why? Because Shechiyanu is only said at the end on the first night. Why? Because Shechiyanu goes both on the Yom Tov and on Sukkah. However, on the second night, Shechiyanu only goes on Kiddush. Therefore, it should be recited close proximity to the Kiddush. Therefore, you should do Yayin, you should do, or say Kiddush, Mechad Yisrael Vazmanim, or say Hagofen, Mechad Yisrael Vazmanim, Shech Yonah and Leishay Basukah. The Radvaz, however, advocates for the same model on both nights. Since Yom Tov Sheni is supposed to resemble Yom Tov Rishon in every way, therefore, the Kiddush should look the same as all. That's why you'll notice, let's see, for example, in the article Machzor, it says, some have the custom to reverse the order of the brachos. So this is one of these situations where no matter what you do, you are covered, you are okay. But Lemaisa, again, Lemaisa, the Mechaber himself has a significant. So here's what we know. First night, everyone agrees on the order of Leishev Basukah, and then Shechiyanu. Second night, Machlokas, Mechaber says switch it. Radvaz says keep it the same as the first night. Vosaya Shekoyach. Mazel Tov, Emirat Hashem, tomorrow morning, 5:45, we start Maseches Beitzah, again, because tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, so davening is at 6:30, 5:45, Maseches Beitzah.
Another victim of the Christian crisis.
Another very impressive crisis. The family is taken to TV after she's already gone. And this time, what happens after she's gone? In other words, the influence of the Yevanim is not even calculated into the mix. Miss Miriam has been let go. She comes back. We're still blaming the parents.
Right, because it's felt that there's something.
That's why I put them. Even though we would think that, you know, once
there's some shoresh that's right there in the. That's, yeah, in a.